Our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the way you come through for us each and every day. The way you provide for us, the way you protect us, the way you guide us. Just because of your great love and your amazing grace. Greetings, saints. Our reading is 1 Corinthians 1, 28-31, TPT. He chose the lowly, the laughable in the world's eyes, nobodies, so that he could shame the somebodies. For he chose what is regarded as insignificant in order to supersede what is regarded as prominent, so that there would be no place for prideful boasting in God's presence. For it is not from man that we draw our life, but from God, as we are being joined to Jesus, the Anointed One. And now he is our God-given wisdom, our virtue, our holiness, and our redemption. And this fulfills what is written, if anyone boasts, let him only boast in all that the Lord has done. That last sentence in the message reads, if you're going to blow a horn, blow a trumpet for God. And in a TPT note, the alternative reads, he who triumphs, let him triumph in the Lord God. So this boasting has got nothing to do with pride, the human bad form of pride. This boasting is, as the note suggests, triumph, the victory. When you attain a victory, attribute that victory to God. In other words, you gain the victory through God and you glorify God for the victory that he has worked in and through your life. Now in verse 31 it says, it fulfills what is written. Where is it written? It's written in Jeremiah 9, verse 23-24, TPT. Yahweh says, the wise must not boast in their wisdom, the mighty must not boast in their power, and the wealthy must not boast in their riches. If you're going to boast, then boast about this, that you understand my ways and know my heart, and you know that I am Yahweh. Let the wise boast in knowing how I demonstrate infinite love, true justice and righteousness, for these are the things that delight my heart, declares Yahweh. Now in the TPT version, it speaks of infinite love. Aspects of that infinite love are loving kindness, mercy, unfailing loyalty, grace, favor. I'd just like to reread that verse in Amplified, Jeremiah 9:24. But let the one who boasts boast in this, that he understands and knows me, and acknowledges me and honors me as God, and recognizes without any doubt that I am the Lord who practices loving kindness, justice and righteousness on the earth. For in these things I delight, says the Lord. There are some beautiful word pictures in Psalm 85, verse 8-13, Amplified. I will hear with expectant hope what God the Lord will say, for he will speak peace to his people, to his godly ones, but let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is near to those who reverently fear him and obey him with submissive wonder. That glory, the manifest presence of God, may dwell in our land. Steadfast love and truth and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Truth springs from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. Indeed, the Lord will give what is good, and our land will yield its produce. Righteousness will go before him, and will make his footsteps into a way in which to walk. So when we say we want to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, this might be where that sentiment comes from, where his footsteps become the way in which we can walk. This beautiful psalm speaks of steadfast love and truth and faithfulness that meet together, righteousness and peace that kiss each other. This, to me, is a picture of closeness and intimacy and commitment, of staying together, sticking together, and walking together for life, basically. And these are qualities of God, love, truth, faithfulness, righteousness, and peace. That sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit. Our topic today is boasting. It could also be said as glorifying. And Jesus said this about it in John 12, verse 28, TPT. So, Father, bring glory to your name. Then suddenly a booming voice was heard from the sky. I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it through you again. The next chapter, we hear about the glorifying again. In John 13, verse 31-35, TPT. After Judas left the room, Jesus said, The time has come for the glory of God to surround the Son of Man, and God will be greatly glorified through what happens to me. And very soon God will unveil the glory of the Son of Man. My dear friends, I only have a brief time left to be with you, and then you will search and long for me. But I tell you what I told the Jewish leaders, you will not be able to come where I am. So I give you a new commandment. Love each other, just as much as I have loved you. For when you demonstrate the same love I have for you by loving one another, everyone will know that you're my true followers. And so the day that Jesus was crucified, I'm sure the disciples considered it to be the worst day of their lives, but we call it Good Friday. So how can the worst be called good? Because God turns everything around for His glory, for those who love Him, and Jesus certainly does love Him. So we have the commandment from Jesus Himself to love each other just as He has loved us. And that's how we show the fruit that identifies us as His true followers. We are further encouraged in 1 Peter 2 verse 12, live honorable lives as you mix with unbelievers, even though they accuse you of being evildoers, for they will see your beautiful works and have a reason to glorify God in the day He visits us. And so what we do in our lives, the way we live by the grace of God, remember His grace is sufficient for us to do whatever God requires us to do. And when people see us living the life of grace, that's when they will find, will discover the reason to glorify God. Jesus Himself gives similar encouragement in John 15 verse 8. When your lives bear abundant fruit, you demonstrate that you are my mature disciples who glorify my Father. We are also encouraged in 1 Corinthians 6 verse 20. You were God's expensive purchase, paid for with tears of blood. So by all means then, use your body to bring glory to God. Again, we are encouraged to live our lives in such a way that it brings glory to God. And a practical example of this encouragement is in 1 Peter 4, verse 11, TPT. For example, if you have a speaking gift, speak as though God were speaking His words through you. If you have the gift of serving, do it passionately with the strength God gives you, so that in everything God alone will be glorified through Jesus Christ. For to Him belong the power and the glory forever, throughout all ages. Amen. So whatever we do it for the glory of God through Christ Jesus. Remember, His grace is sufficient for us, and His grace is necessary for us. We cannot do what He asks us to do without His strength, without His grace, without the Holy Spirit empowering us. And right at the end of the Bible, in Revelations 4:11, says this, You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory, honor, and power. For you created all things, and for your pleasure they were created and exist. So if you're looking for purpose in your life, there it is. You were created and you exist for God's pleasure. That's why we desire to bring glory, honor, and power to our Heavenly Father, our loving Redeemer, our loving Holy Spirit. And finally, a word of encouragement from Jesus Himself in Matthew 5, verse 16, TPT. So don't hide your light. Let it shine brightly before others, so that your commendable works will shine as light upon them, and then they will give their praise to your Father in heaven. That's why I so often encourage you to shine your light.